Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. I don't know why I'm thinking. I looked at chapter 2 and said 2 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. If I get you in the right place, it's probably easier to follow along, you think? Amen. Hey, all right. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And 25 verses long. I'm going to be looking at the last part of the chapter there, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. I think it's important. Kind of underscores some of the things we talked about in Sunday school, so I want to go ahead and talk about and just read over those, and hopefully it'll be a great blessing to you. There'll be some things that you can see that relate, I believe. But chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I don't know about you, but you know, when the Bible said, "Taste and see that the Lord, that He is good," I can lift my hand toward heaven and say, "Amen, He's good." Amen. "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." That's kind of contrary to the way people think today, isn't it? All right. For what glory of it, verse 20, "For what glory is it, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God and each one that's here. I pray in this short time that we have remaining this morning that you would help me to be a blessing. Lord, you know the need of every heart. You know the things that that ought not to be in our hearts. And you know the things, the stubbornness and the rebellion. And Lord, you know the trials and tribulations. And you know the fears and you know the weaknesses and you know all things. So Lord, help us to trust you. And Lord, help us to trust your word. Use it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it is an amazing thing when we look at the Word of God. There's statements in the Bible that are just amazing to me. You know, if you read the Bible and you read it closely, if you go to the book of Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. I just want to show you something before we get into the most part of the message. But Isaiah chapter 53, of course, we know that's the chapter of Christ being the Lamb of God in that time. But in verse 5 it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." All right, so we look at that, and that is a present tense thing. It's something that happens at a moment in time. It's ongoing, if you will. It's ongoing. It's prophetic. With his stripes, we are healed. Okay? But when we look here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now it's past tense, isn't it? Same word of God. Same God that breathed out Isaiah 53. Breathed out 1 Peter chapter 2. It's important for us to read the Bible. Most of the greatest blessings in the Bible are just reading the Bible for the Bible and paying attention to think about this. By whose stripes ye were healed. Done. Past tense. Accomplished. You know, sometimes we live our lives in such a way that we look at what Christ has done, and we look at heaven, and we look at the issue of salvation, and it's extremely important to talk about your salvation and talk about salvation. And we talk about it so much in the sense of sinners needing to be saved from their sins. And we talk about the eternal security of the believer. And then sometimes we get bogged down with our lives and the sin, that the weights and the sin that so easily beset us that are talked about in the book of Hebrews. At chapter 12, I believe it is. And we're told to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then it goes on and talks about who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. He endured the cross there at that time. What an amazing thing that is. And we look at that in the sense of needing to be saved from our sins so we won't die and go to hell, but we'll go to heaven. And then we struggle against all these sins and weights and things that hold us back in our Christian life and things that interrupt or threaten our relationship with God and the things that cause us to bow our heads in shame. And we believe the lie of the flesh and of the devil and of the world is that just there's no way to get past them. It's just the way I am. I've always been this way, preacher. Isn't the point of salvation to change you from what you've always been? Think about that. But I look at the things that he's talking about here, and he says, by his stripes ye were healed. Past tense. All of these things that he's talking about. Notice what he talks about. He's telling them, as we go through the chapter, he's telling them to desire the word. He's telling them what they're supposed to be. He tells them in verse 11, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Submit to the Lord. All these things that we're supposed to do. Submit to the authority and those things like that. And even if necessary, be willing to suffer. Even suffer for well-doing. And he said in verse 23, verse 21, he says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. It's kind of amazing in this first book, same book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, for as much sin as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Isn't that an amazing thing? And then he tells us, he says in verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin of us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We are to do exactly what Jesus did. And you say, well, preacher, I can't do that. And I would say that yes, you can. Because it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's what we're supposed to do. And with his stripes, you're healed. No, wait a minute. With his stripes, you were healed. Everything that's necessary for you and I to have victory over sin and to continue to grow and walk with God has already been provided and done. All the things that we deal with, there is, I'm not talking about the name it, claim it, health and wealth, prosperity gospel, because they wouldn't talk about suffering. But even if we suffer for doing the right thing, we can live victoriously. You can get over your hurt. You can get over your anger. You can get over your self-pity. You can get over all those things. Why? Because with his stripes you were healed. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. What was looked forward to, what Israel looked forward to in Isaiah 53, prophetically. And the sad thing is, do you know that Isaiah 53 is one of the verses that they just, one of the passages of Scripture, along with Psalm 22, that the Jews just skip over today and try to explain away how it could never be Christ? By his stripes we are healed, and yet they're not, because they refuse him. Thankfully, not all of them. But they're under curse today, aren't they? And they're not healed. But if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are. Everything that's necessary has been done. And in verse 25, it tells us that we ought to remember something. We ought to remember something. There's something we need to remember as we're dealing with this world. It says, "For ye were as sheep going astray." You were as sheep going astray. That's what you were. That's not what you are. Psalm 95, I believe it is, if you'll turn over there. Psalm 95, I think it is. I'm trying to remember a song that actually heard turn into a song one time. Let's see. It says in verse 6, it says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." In the book of Hebrews, it says, "We that believe do enter into rest." And there's the picture. There's what we look at. Ye were sheep going astray. That's what you used to be. But that's not what you are now. I mean, we spend so much time talking about the prodigal son, and we talk about Christians backsliding and all these things. You know, the thing that is necessary is for us to remember and rightly divide the word of truth and live and order our lives based upon the faith of Christ, which is actually the fact that everything has been provided that we talked about this morning. Keep on believing. He said, "You were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." The shepherd of your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ, the bishop, the preacher, if you will, the pastor, the one that takes care of you, that takes the oversight thereof. Is the Lord Jesus Himself. And isn't it amazing when we're talking about revival, we're telling people to do what? Return to the Lord, right? Come back to the Lord. But really what we're saying is remember and believe. Remember what God said and believe. Do you remember the day you got saved? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Do you remember that day? Sometimes we make revival and getting our hearts right with God so difficult. We just really need to remember and believe what we remember. Believe what God said. That's the key to revival. That's everything that's necessary there. And notice we're talking about all of these things that He talks about, and He's talking about dealing with sin and the persecution that they're dealing with, and getting in trouble and dealing with persecution for doing that which is right. You know, when we're, a lot of times when the preaching is hard, you know, we take it to heart, and it's a good thing, don't get me wrong. We take it to heart that, okay, he's talking about me. That's me, Lord. That's me who he's talking about, Lord. But does it go any further than that? You know, the whole point of preaching and revivals and all the things and reprove, rebuke, exhort is that when people would hear and say, yep, that's me, Lord, I need to get, that they would move forward and believe God's promises. You hear me say and tell you out of the book of 1 John, 1 John 1, 9, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you hear me say all those things. 1 John chapter 1 where he says, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the Savior. He's the only one. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. If you want your sin forgiven, it's only going to be done through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way it's ever going to happen. You can pray and ask God to forgive your sins every day of your life. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never have your sins forgiven. You'll never have peace with God. You'll never be reconciled to God. You must be born again. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And there is the absolute truth of it. But those of us who are saved, we were sheep going astray. We were a people that were not a people, but now we're the people of God. We were a people which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy through Jesus Christ. Right? Amen. That mercy is as real today as it was the day you got saved. We just need to return and believe. Believe who Jesus is. I've even known preachers to sit there and say, well, I don't think God can use me anymore. That's not true. God can use any sinner that repents. Now, you may disqualify yourself in some way from some things. There may be some things even in the life of any Christian that may disqualify you in some way. You know, if you run around and you start acting like a drunkard, don't expect the drunkards to believe you. Doesn't mean God can't use you. If you're a pastor, you start doing things wrong. If I were to start doing something wrong, I may disqualify myself standing behind this pulpit because I won't be the example I could. But that doesn't mean I can't serve God. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to return unto the shepherd and bishop of my soul. I like that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. That's what we're supposed to be doing. There's the picture. By his stripes ye were healed. You can be right with God. You can get back to being right with God. If there's something wrong, you can be right with God today. Requires you to return, to remember, and believe. Why? Because you're not of the world. You're God's child. You're the sheep of His pasture. You're not what you used to be. You know that old song, I like the hymns, but you know, only a sinner saved by grace. Don't put the emphasis on the sinner part. Put the emphasis on the saved by grace part. I don't know where you're at today. If you're lost, you can be saved today. If you'll trust Christ as your Savior. If you're saved and not walking with God, that can change. But you need to return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. You need to believe His Word. You need to believe that it is indeed, that God's grace is indeed sufficient to change you back, to get you back on track and get you where you ought to be. You need to believe. Remember, and believe. What does it say? Does it say you are healed? Is it? No, not anymore. If you trust Christ your Savior, you were healed. It's done. We're like the people that have all the medicine necessary in the medicine cabinet but won't take any of it. I know of a person like that. I know of a person who goes to doctor after doctor after doctor and gets prescription after prescription after prescription but won't follow what the doctor says to do. You ever known anybody like that? And trust me, I'm not a big fan of doctors. But you know, if you're going to go to a doctor, you know, at least you would give him a shot. You know, what's the sense of going to a doctor and paying good money and not even trying to do what he said to do, right? To see if it helps. I understand there are quacks out there, but not all of them. And God help us if we call the great physician a quack and say we can't trust what he said to do. Think about that. God help us. We just need to remember and return. Remember and believe. Come back to the Lord Jesus. Trust His Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out the service today. Our Father, we thank You for what You've shown us. And You know every heart. You know what we need. Lord, I just pray that even though we're about to break for food and fellowship, and we're thankful for that, but Lord, I just pray that this message would stay in our hearts, that we would examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, that we would take the time and look to You and just see how far away we are. Look at where we are and look at where we ought to be. Lord, help, but above all, help us to believe Your Word that with Your stripes we were healed. It's done. It's past tense. Everything that's necessary has been provided. Help us to that end. Father, if there's one that's lost that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we pray for their salvation. We ask, Lord, You'd work on their heart, that Your Spirit would convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Pray for their salvation, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, help Your people to believe Your Word and be the testimonies that we ought to be. We thank You in Jesus' name.